Hey, it's Jamie Sumner, left guard from 1994-95, and this is the Bunch of Nuts podcast with my boys Dan and Cass. Go Bucks!
Hello, and welcome back to another episode of the Bunch of Nuts podcast. I'm Dan, here with Big Cass. Ohio State is currently waiting to see who they're going to play in the Big Ten tournament, Cass. Right now, Minnesota and Penn State are about to tip off. Tomorrow they would play the winner of that game 25 minutes after game five. So that's going to be after the Michigan State Maryland game, which is kind of nice because the way this kind of fell, Cass, for the Big Ten tournament, Ohio State's going to be playing all the later games on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. So I like that. You know, I'm going to have a chance to kind of get my errands done, my chores done, and actually sit down and watch us potentially win. I'm not feeling too confident about that, as we know from last week's show, and especially after that team up against that team up north, that performance was just horrid.
I don't even want to talk about that. I mean, but yeah, I'm right there with you. I get to watch an episode of Yellowstone. We started that yesterday. We're only on season one, episode three tomorrow, and so far, what I like. It's a pretty good show. But yeah, it gives me time to watch one of the episodes of Yellowstone and go into, since I am working Fridays, but it's usually Fridays are my days that it's not as rough at work.
Yeah.
So I could stay up a little bit later if I wanted to. If the Buckeyes play bad, then I'm going to put in another episode of Yellowstone. I'm glad I've got something. If the Buckeyes are playing terribly, I can be like, you know what? I'm not even going to force myself to watch this. I'm just going to go ahead and turn Yellowstone back on and get going. And maybe if I don't turn Yellowstone back on, maybe I'll just watch the Rose Bowl highlights again.
It's something to pick you up, but I wrote an article about, I want to say last week, just saying the importance, like what Ohio State has to do to make a big tournament run. Basically, EJ Liddell has to stay out of foul trouble, just because, not that he's ever had issues with foul trouble, just because he's our most important guy, so you can't have him in foul trouble. Gotta trust Brandon with the ball, let him basically be a ball handler and just, you know, go to work. Don't worry that he's a freshman. But then I also wrote, Kyle Young needs to be healthy. And everything was pointing up to that until, you know, he has a concussion and he's going to miss.
It's the Dan Smith article curse.
It is.
It's kind of like the Big Cast player selfie.
For real. I mean, it's so Kyle Young has a concussion, which is, it's crazy. I feel like this is his fourth or fifth concussion.
I'd be shocked if he suits up again for the Buckeyes.
I agree, because I mean, I've had a ton of concussions in my life.
I've had one, and they're not fun.
They're not fun. I mean, I'm a man who's had like five or six documented ones, and I'm a guy who's just like, oh, they're a myth. But like, you're really not supposed to play for a while. And Kyle Young, the way he plays, he plays pretty gritty. Like he's a grinder. We know he does a lot of stuff down the paint. There's a lot of stuff that's really invaluable to the Buckeyes. I mean, that would be a really devastating loss. And I think that's why they didn't beat Oral Roberts last year or Illinois in the Big Ten championship game. So if we lose Kyle Young, if that's it for him, I mean, it was a good run.
Kudos to a nice career.
Yeah, a solid career. That's really it. I mean, that's all I got to say about Kyle. Good. Not the greatest, but I mean, I appreciated his time when healthy.
Yeah, I hit it too. But going back, I think, you know, by the way, congratulations to EJ Liddell, first team All Big Ten, and Malachi Brennan, Big Ten Freshman of the Year, and Malachi Brennan getting Big Ten All Third Team. Much deserving. We know those are the two guys that we ride on. But I think we'll get through tomorrow night. I really do. And then after that, I think Purdue is going to be on a mission to win the Big Ten tournament. They were my favorite to win the Big Ten earlier this year. But I think they'll win. I think they got a great shot to win the Big Ten tournament.
I agree.
I mean, Wisconsin was on another level this year, but that's the thing about this Buckeye basketball team. They're like a Jekyll and Hyde. We don't know what we're going to get. Are we going to get the team that beat Duke and Wisconsin back-to-back? Or are we going to get the team that lost to Maryland and Nebraska back-to-back? That's – and then goes to – then plays Michigan State, destroys them. That's the whole key. We're finally getting rest, though. I'm glad we've had a few days of rest. You know, that's why I like the – you know, I would love to have the double bye, but, hey, you know, that didn't work out. But we got a bye, get some rest. And I'd honestly like to see us just lose and then get more rest.
That's – that. You know what? That's a popular, like, fan take right now. It's – I don't see us – I want to see us get a win against the winner, Penn State, Minnesota, just so we can reach 20-win mark. We can, you know, feel good. But then, yeah, if we just lose to Purdue right away or something like that, what's going to happen is we're going to struggle – I know how this is going to play out. In my prediction, we're going to struggle to beat Penn State or Minnesota barely. We're going to beat them, play a great, great game against Purdue, like down to the wire, and lose.
Maybe beat them because this always happens.
Maybe. I don't think we'll beat them, but it'll be a gritty game. And probably another one of our guys will leave the game banged up and we'll be even more stretched than for the tournament.
Yeah. I don't think we'll go get past Purdue. I really don't. But it seems like even last year when we were like, maybe they'll get some rest. They were playing some ball. It would have been nice to see them win the Big Ten tournament. They got to the Big Ten championship. You were there. You know the team was gassed. That's how they lost to Oral Roberts, that without Kyle Young and the team was gassed. I'd be fine losing to Penn State beating Penn State and losing to Purdue and getting some rest, going in as a 7 or 8 seed. And
they're in regardless, which is crazy. We've definitely done enough, and I know the committee knows we've had so many games in a row.
I think we'll get a 6.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know.
We'll say that at the end.
I feel so mixed about this season, and I need to see something. If we get bounced in the Big Ten tournament right away, fine, no problem. We're in regardless, but I need to see us make a March run. And we have not made it to the Sweet 16. We have not survived the first weekend in March since I believe the 2012-2013 season when they lost to Wichita State. Yeah, they lost to Wichita State.
Yeah, that's insane.
Almost a decade ago. It's almost been a decade since we've been to the second round of the NCAA tournament, second weekend. So,
God, I miss Aaron Kraft.
He's
the last point guard we've had.
Yeah.
I mean, people say, well, Shannon Scott was not a good, he was all right point guard, but.
I mean, D'Angelo Russell wasn't he was technically a shooting guard, but he was the best guard we've had since.
The last point guard we had with players like Malachi Brennan and E.J. Liddell was Aaron Kraft.
Yeah.
D'Angelo Russell had nobody around him.
He had Amir Williams.
No, I think Amir Williams was gone.
No, he was the starting center that year.
What year was that? 2014?
It was 2014-2015, the year when they beat VCU.
I remember when they beat VCU because D'Angelo Russell went off.
Yeah, I mean, he had a great performance. I mean, I don't think Amir Williams did that bad in that one, too. I think he had a 10 points, I want to say, or something like that.
10 points.
No,
Sam Thompson was a senior. Mm-hmm. We had Jay Sean Tate as a freshman. Amir Williams. Yeah, you're right. Shannon Scott. I mean, that team wasn't bad, but it didn't have stars like Brennan. And
it had Kata Bates-Diop too, but that's when he was kind of coming off the bench and he was only playing like 5 or 7 minutes a game max.
Yeah, and Jay Sean Tate wasn't even seeing the court yet.
Yeah, I mean, that team was literally – it was crazy because we all knew D'Angelo Russell was going to do his thing. Shan Scott, Sam Thompson were good players, but
Mark Loving.
If it came down to literally if Amir Williams could get like 10 points, if he could get like 10 or 12 points in the paint, we were probably going to win because I knew like D'Angelo Russell was going to get his no matter what.
Right.
And I'll never forget too, watching him warm up one time. The dude did around the world just from like the 3-point line, like made a shot, did it before a game and hit every shot. It was incredible. It was just like consistently too.
Speaking of warmups, did you happen to see Will Ferrell out in his semi-pro get up warming up with the Golden State Warriors last night?
Yeah, I did. It's kind of I love that movie. I love Will Ferrell. I just thought it was the most random thing ever.
It was. I loved it. It was just like the time where he played 9 positions for 9 different teams for spring training baseball. Yeah. I love Will Ferrell. He did a great job. But yeah, the Buckeyes by either Penn State or Minnesota, we'll find out. Out of the two, who would you like to see as your likely opponent? I say Minnesota, just because
I would too, honestly.
Penn State is a gritty, tough basketball team.
Well, I'm still scarred from Penn State just because of Tony Carr.
I hate Tony Carr.
Yeah, I'm still flustered.
Why am I still seeing him hit that half court shot?
Or in Madison Square Garden, just like the game winning assist. Remember that? Like it was. We all keyed on Tony Carr. It was the third time we played Penn State in the last 30 seconds.
Kamara Wheeler was on that team.
Yeah. Well, that's why I don't want to play Penn State too, because they're going to play extra hard because they're playing Jamari Wheeler. They're going to be like, oh, that's Benedict Arnold. It's Minnesota, the worst team in the Big Ten this year somehow, which was kind of shocking.
This is how out of loop of Minnesota basketball I was this year. I still thought Richard Pitino was the head coach.
No, he's long gone. And I couldn't tell you who the coach is because I really don't
exactly
care.
That's how far along we are from watching Minnesota basketball.
No, but I will say in January, going into the first matchup they had with Ohio State, Minnesota had a pretty good record.
They win all their non-conference games?
Yeah, no, they were sitting pretty good. I was like, oh wow, this might be like a fringe tournament team. Definitely like I was going to say NIT team, maybe a bubble team. And then everything just completely fell off for them once they hit the Big Ten schedule. But they're not that bad. The Big Ten's so competitive. Like Minnesota would be a really
good Mountain West team.
Yeah, yeah. That's exactly how I would phrase it. Like if they played in Gonzaga's conference, they would be the third best team behind St. Mary's.
I'd say, yeah. So that's a different segue.
Yeah.
Let's talk about some lacrosse. We had some heartbreaker this week.
Absolute heartbreaker, Cass. Really upset about this. Number 9 Cornell defeats number 5 Ohio State 14-11. The undefeated season dream is over. Cornell has now shot up to number 4 overall in the AP poll. Ohio State gets tanked down to number 10. They will play number 9 Notre Dame this weekend. On the game though.
Oh, by the way, we're not going.
No, it's too cold. We're going to go to the Michigan game instead.
Maybe the Michigan game. I found out it's a 7:00 Sunday face off.
Well, all right. Well, we'll figure it out. But this is what head coach Nick Meyer said after the game. He said, "We didn't make enough plays to get the win. Credit Cornell as they played hard and executed better than we did. Back to work this week for our next challenge." And I mean, Cornell had two guys who scored 4 goals. Ohio State, you know, number leading scorer Jack Myers had 1 goal. He had 6 shots on goal and he only scored once. I guess the highlight of the game was Ed Sheen, 2 goals, 2 assists. It just wasn't their day. It just wasn't. I mean, it just really came down to Jack Myers didn't their best player didn't get his. So I mean, it goes like that sometimes. But they got to bounce back for Notre Dame.
Yeah, absolutely. Softball was off this week, last week, but they are back in action Friday in Tampa against Stony Brook at the 2:00, and then 9 a.m. on Saturday against Army. and then 11:30 a.m. against Stony Brook again, and then finishing up with another doubleheader Sunday at 6:30. They play South Florida, and at 4 o'clock they play UMass. They're currently at 9-3 on the season.
They're doing a doubleheader on Sunday against two different teams.
Yeah, and Saturday.
That's a little interesting. Is that normal?
Yeah.
Huh.
For softball, it is, until they get to the regular season.
Huh.
So baseball, they're 4-7 on the season. Ouch. By the way, they're supposed to have a weekend series this weekend with West Virginia, but they're playing a doubleheader on Friday starting at noon, and then game two will be shortly after that due to the snow. Yes, I said snow because they're in Morgantown, West Virginia. But they beat Army Sunday 12-7, lost to Pitt 5-6 on Saturday. Friday, they lost 7-2 to Campbell. Good that they got a win against Army to get them back on track because they need it. Hopefully they get to the Mountaineers and get a sweep before they head to UNC Wilmington next week for a Wednesday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday four-game series in Wilmington, North Carolina.
That's a nice little weekend road trip in March because I'm sure it'll be really nice down there. I went to Nashville this past weekend. Incredible city. First time I've ever been. Loved it. I really didn't even want to come back to Ohio. I just wanted to stay in Nashville for a month. It was awesome, that city.
Yeah, it's a pretty good city. I've been there a couple times, and I liked it. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
So as you can see, well, if you're going to watch our videos, our little stream videos that we post up, what do you Rose Bowl jersey. Got my Jackson Smith and Jigba Rose Bowl jersey on because spring football is here. I love it. Gotta love it. I'm excited, man. I really am excited that, you know, spring football is here. We get a little relaxed because as bad as this basketball team is, we could focus a little on football.
Finally. Finally, we have some football news to talk about.
Poor Eric Bennett. He's having a rough night tonight.
For
Buckeye Nation. He's a fan. Tweeted out a picture of Cameron Babb and said, man, Marvin Harrison has really hit the gym. Or something like that.
Which, all right, I have to play devil's advocate here because – the picture, it looks like a really bad crop job where
it was.
It has to be what happened because it was a picture of Cameron Babb, Jackson Smith and Jigba, Marvin Harrison Jr. all together. But he somehow only cropped in like Cameron Babb.
Mecca Buka was in there that you couldn't see.
Yeah, so he's basically posted a picture of Cameron Babb saying, doesn't Marvin Harrison look junior, like look huge? And it's not. It's just Cam Babb. But, I mean, Cam Babb does look huge. I'll give him credit there.
Yeah. Key unavailable players, linebacker Ryan Bosch is out. Defensive end Jacoby Cohen's out. Marcus Crowley. Mm-hmm. Jontez Dunn. Tyler Friday. Josh Fryer. Kay Gorzinski. Harry Miller. Lathan Ransom. And Mitch Rossi.
A couple interesting names on that.
We knew Ransom, Karoski, Jontez Dunn, definitely for sure, because those had some gruesome injuries.
Crowley
should retire.
I feel bad for Crowley.
I do too.
He looked so promising, and then he's been trying to get back, and he's shown flashes, but now at this point, it's like
he's the running back version of Cameron Babb, who is available 100% to go.
No, that's awesome. Cameron Babb's looked great in all the everything you're watching. Like he's looking explosive. He could honestly have a really productive year for the Buckeyes, which would be great. And I hope he does. Mitch Rossi surprised me. I don't know. He wasn't hurt. Maybe it's just like a maintenance type thing because he's gonna be a guy who's gonna be putting his head through people and everything. So I'm fine. He doesn't really need the practice, dude. He's a super senior. Just keep him healthy. Harry Miller was surprising, but I feel like he's been hurt.
What's going on?
I know. He had to have suffered a major injury.
He had to. It's been very, very quiet about it. I mean, obviously, we said Jontez Dunn, Kate Krasinski, Gruszewski got it in the him and Ransom got it in the Rose Bowl.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Cade's got hurt a couple times. He got hurt against Michigan State in the 2020 season, and then he got hurt again.
By the way, his dad, we had him on. He's super swell guy.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, I hope he's all right. I know. I mean, because he's been playing a lot too on special teams for Ohio State. He's a guy who makes it like he's a big special teams guy for us. So we definitely need him healthy because he's like a guy on kickoff and punt and stuff that he's like an unsung hero that, you know, you're not going to see him maybe starting at linebacker, but he makes an impact in a crucial part of the game. And we need guys like that healthy.
Absolutely. Number changes and some players getting numbers. Cameron Bad, number one, which I think him and Stover swapped in the middle of the season last year.
Yeah.
So Cameron Bad, number one. Emeka Buka, number two. Love it. Mm-hmm. Mayan Williams, number three. Love it. Cade Stover, eight. Jaden Ballard dropped from 10 to 9.
I like it.
I think that was his high school number anyways. Xavier Johnson, number 10. C.J. Hicks, number 11. Let me tell you about C.J. Hicks wearing number 11. I love it. I mean, you had Micah Parsons and Derek Johnson and LeVar Arrington, who were about the same size as C.J. Hicks. I know had nothing to do with the Buckeyes, but a linebacker wearing number 11 just smells greatness, don't it?
No, I mean, I like the way you put that, Cass. It definitely does. I don't like – I'm not a fan of the Mayan number three. I feel like he has to be – either something in the 20s or 30s.
But begs my question, when Sonny Styles comes in, Sonny Styles currently – they won again tonight. They're headed to the regional finals, Pickerington Central, by the way. By the way, Sonny Styles about crushed my hand when I shook his hand.
Yeah, he's big.
Last Saturday. The dude is huge. He wears 24 for basketball, wore number 3 for football. Mayan Williams wears number 3, and so does Tarada Mitchell. It's going to be what number will Sonny Styles wear when he comes to Columbus. My guess is 24. I mean, Crowley wears it on offense, but nobody wears it on defense.
24 makes sense. I can also see them giving Taraja the 0. I feel like Taraja.
I've been hearing Cameron Babb.
I feel like him or Babb would definitely be a guy who deserves the 0. Like, probably no one more deserving than Babb, honestly. Right. But I could see Mitchell because he's been a captain. He's coming back again. That would make sense to me. And then you can obviously give that freeze up number 3 for Styles. It's numbers. I don't think it really matters that much for freshmen because it's you got to earn it first.
He could wear number 21, which what Lorenzo wears up at Notre Dame. But anyways, Caleb Burton's wearing number 12, Tanner McAllister 15, Devin Brown, our new quarterback, wearing 15. Keon Graves went to 17, Jair Brown 18, Marvin Harrison 18. We knew that. Mm-hmm. Chad Ray 19, Chip Terranum 19, Ryan Turner's number 24. I'm not sure what position he all. Oh, defense. So that there we go. What number? Maybe 23. I mean, or 13.
Well, it's Marcus Hooker. Marcus Hooker's 23.
I don't even think he's on the team.
No, he's there. He was there. He was there. Yeah, he was doing safety drills with Tanner McAllister. He was showing him how to do a drill. I remember. Okay. I saw the clip. So he's still there, Hooker.
Corbin Cleveland 30, Gabe Powers 36, which is obvious. That was his high school number. Kai Stokes 37. Jaden Felding, 38. Elias Myers, 46. Zach Cratio moved from 28 to 56. Interesting. Could Sonny Styles wear 28? Quentin Burke, 64. George Fitzpatrick, 68. Donovan Jackson, 72, which wasn't he already number 72?
I believe he was.
Bennett Christian, 85. Caden Curry, 92. And last but not least, I love it because I love this number for this position. G. Scott Jr., number 88.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's a good one. So, I mean, wasn't 88 Ruckert's number?
Yes.
Okay, so I like that then even more. But, don't know. I really don't have any complaints about the numbers. It's just my biggest one. I don't love Mayan at three. I just think
I do.
It makes him. I feel like a guy who wears number three is like an explosive guy. I feel like that's something for like an explosive guy. I feel like he has to be two digits just to make him look bigger.
Yeah, I can see that. But now the begs the question, what jersey number will Sonny Styles wear when he comes to Columbus? We won't find out until the fall. But I do question if last Saturday, because practice didn't start till what, Monday? If Sonny Styles and the Pickerington Central Tigers was defeated last Saturday, do you think Sonny Styles would have enrolled and was be able to show up and start spring ball?
Probably not, to be honest.
I don't think he would have, but I know that he's enrolling as soon as basketball season's over. But at this rate, you might as well stay and walk and graduate.
Yeah.
But, by the way, the dude's a phenomenal basketball player.
What's interesting, I mean, speaking of another safety, he for some reason he wasn't on the injury report, which was kind of odd, but it was Josh Proctor. Because Proctor, I mean, he's a guy we absolutely need back. And he wasn't listed as out, but he's not practicing right now. Day basically said that he's going to start working his way back into drill work after spring break. He isn't sure if he's going to fully participate in practice by the end of the spring. So it sounded like he might do a little bit of stuff. As long as he gets cleared, but he's close, which is a good sign. Cause if he's not on that report, it means any day now he could potentially come back, but they're taking it really slow with him because he is obviously, I think, one of the most important pieces to this defense.
Yeah, I mean, luckily we have Tanner McAllister, which, by the way, I've been seeing Court Williams is running with the number one defense.
And that's, Hickman. Hickman and Williams at safety.
So that begs the question, is Tanner McAllister that nickel corner?
I could see that. We do need a guy like him to play. We do need a nickel corner.
He needs to see the field. He's got the experience. He was first team all Big 12, won a great defense.
He knows what Knowles wants too from that position. So even if he might not be the most talented, naturally talented, at least we can put him out there. He can lead by example. And then we can, you know, he can hopefully bring some young guys along too, show them what's needed. And I mean, I feel fine with him at the nickel corner, as long as like in the early games, I think he'll know what he's doing. He might get exposed if we play like an SEC team or something like that. But I do feel comfortable with him for the opponents we play so far.
Yeah, I do too. So that goes to my next question, Dan. What is the most important, position battle right now in spring? What you're going to look for on April 16th when we go to the Shoe for the spring game?
Our linebackers, just figuring out. I mean, I think we know where the defensive line for the most part. I would say, you know, obviously it's going to be, we got to have Tyleek, Jack Sawyer, why am I drawing a blank? JTT. And then Zach Harrison. I feel like that. And then you can obviously throw in like Jerron Cage and all the other guys. But I think that's defense line's pretty much set in stone as long as there's no injury. Corners, Burke, Cam Brown. And then obviously we have some good young guys. But the linebackers, I mean, we have five or six guys that are pretty good, but we don't know. I mean, linebacker needs to be open for everyone. Eichenberg flashed in the Rose Bowl, but Stover's they're trying to find a spot for Stover. Mitchell has been there forever. Hasn't really, you know, excited us, but he's been there. He has the leadership qualities.
Chambers.
Gil Chambers was absolutely fantastic last year, but how will he fit into this defense? There's and there we got our guy Gaiote. I can't even still pronounce his name. We just call him
Gaiote.
Yeah, Paulie G, 21. That's my guy. Like he kind of got robbed last year. He was a big transfer, but kind of got robbed because the NCAA didn't know what they were doing. Then we got Gabe Powers and
Zach Cratio.
I mean, linebacker, I think, is the biggest position. And obviously, safety is not a crazy battle, in my opinion. It's important, but it's not. We have so many talented guys. We could honestly play five or six guys that I feel comfortable with at safety, but it's important in Jim Knowles' defense. But I'm not worried about it because we're so deep. Linebacker, we're pretty deep, but there's not like many alphas. The safety position, there's like five, six alphas that I have no problem with. What about you?
I think the most important position is the backup quarterback job.
Yeah, I agree.
We have had the blessing of Justin Fields and CJ Stroud for the most part for the last, JT, the last four quarterbacks, we've been blessed to have a long run where we haven't had to use our backup quarterback. I know Kyle McCord and Jack Miller got to play against Akron. I mean, heck, Dan and I could have went out there and played quarterback against Akron and still beat them. I mean, I think
McCord's good though. I'm fine too. I can sleep well at night if Stroud went down, knowing McCord can step in and probably maintain things for a game or two.
But the talent of Devin Brown and that makes me excited to see. I think it's most important because we already know who the starting quarterback is going to be. It's CJ Stroud, I think the front runner for the Heisman Trophy. Hopefully bring us a national championship. But if something goes down, McCord didn't look all that great. But we also don't know the uncertainty of Devin Brown. I also think the running back position, I mean, is a heck of a battle because, in my opinion, you had Sonny Michel and Nick Chubb, and then Reggie Bush and
Lendell White.
I want to see that level up. Can we see the level? It's not really a battle. I think it's not a position battle. I want to see, can Mayan Williams and Travion Henderson get to that Reggie Bush, Lendell White level and that Nick Chubb and Sonny Michel level?
Well, I would like to see little Evan Pryor action too, because likely Mayan will probably, as long as everything goes to plan, because I could see Mayan leaving after this year to the NFL draft, because I think he's good enough to get drafted, and running backs, they have a short lifespan. So I think Mayan will probably be gone. But Travion's going to be here another season because this is only his second year. But Evan Pryor is a guy you want to look to in the future, and for his third season here, who's going to probably split touches with Travion for the most part, as given everything. Additionally, I think you could add a little dynamic to this offense where, obviously, Travion is our workhorse. That's our pride and joy. Mayan's our bell cow. He's going to ram people. But Evan Pryor, he's a little shifty guy. You hit him with Mayan, they get winded, then they got to keep up with Travion.
They get gassed with Travion.
And then all of a sudden Evan Pryor's out there running like a wheel route or like a Texas route, and you're not stopping that.
So basically what you're saying, can Evan Pryor be a better version of DeMario McCall?
Yeah, but more like –
because if you remember correctly, every time that one year DeMario McCall touched the ball, he was in the end zone.
I wouldn't even say I would like to see him kind of use him like how they kind of use Braxton his senior year here. Less on the receiving side, but they you know how they use Braxton as like at times at running back, like a shifty guy like that.
So you want to see him at H-back?
Yeah, honestly, if they could bring back some packages like H-back for Evan Pryor, I think that would be perfect.
Scratch it. I just thought of something. The most important position battle I want to see, who's going to return punts and kicks? I mean, we know Emeka Buka. Why can't we just Jaden Ballard and Evan Pryor and
Cam Martinez was actually returning kicks, which was interesting.
Dude, Cam Martinez is just a great athlete. We got so many athletes. It's not even funny. I'm hyped for the spring game. I haven't been hyped in years.
That's a guy who might be a good nickel corner, honestly, is Cam Martinez.
Yeah. So I'm really hyped for the spring game, and I haven't been this hyped for a spring game in a long time. And here's why. I think it's because the uncertainty of Jim Knowles and what the style. We're not going to see the best of the defense, what we're going to see. I want to see how they line up, where we might see guys line up.
I want to see them go back to basics.
Yeah. I don't want to see CJ Stroud or number 11 on the field. I don't. I want to see Devin Brown and go back to the old style where, you know, what you ought to do is have CJ Stroud because he's going to be a captain, and Sherrata Mitchell. Have your offensive captains and your defensive captains draft a team and go at it, balls to the wall, and go back to the real scarlet and gray. We'll see a little bit of two-hand touch, but actually don't do first-team offense versus first-team defense.
Right, none of this offense. Brutus versus Buckeye thing.
Yeah, like go back to the scarlet and gray and draft your own team and go at it, man. But we don't want to see C.J. Stroud out there. We don't see Jackson Smith and Jigba out there. There's no reason for those guys to be out there. Just go at it. The defense is going to have to show out. I mean, just go at it and have Kyle McCord and Devin Brown duke it out. And because we know Jagger LaRue and the other guy aren't going to be there. Who's going to be the random walk-on quarterback that we didn't know was going to be on the roster? I mean,
that's actually a great question. I don't think Ohio State has one right now, which is
three quarterbacks.
No, they do. The kid from Dublin, Kaufman, the preferred walk-on. What's his name? Why am I dropping a blank? They signed a couple of preferred walk-ons over
just for the spring game.
What's his name? No, this is really bothering me now. Kyle McCord, hold on. Scrolling down. I went on Ohio State's.
I'm going on the roster too.
Yeah.
Wonder if you can just go by football roster.
No, I guess they don't have one, which is insane. I'll tell you what though, Bryson Shaw looks like he could be a quarterback.
All right, and nobody's ever heard this besides Dan. I'm doing it right now. Bryson Shaw reminds me of – he's going to be a great special teams guy for the Buckeyes, like Nate Ebner. That's who he reminds me of. Bill Belichick is going to draft him in the 7th round, and we're going to be like, how did Bryson Shaw get drafted? He's going to go out, make a couple Pro Bowls in the NFL as a special teams guy. I don't think he's tough enough for rugby, but
it's crazy. Like you look at the safety room, and I'm not out here gassing Bryson Shaw up, but he's a serviceable player. I guess you can say, but you look at the room like Proctor, McAllister, you got Court Williams, Hickman, you can throw Shaw in there, Sonny Styles. Marcus Hooker. You forgot, like, Marcus Hooker's still on the team. Like, there's like 7 or 8 guys you could throw out there who I'm like, they've started or they're starting caliber, and I'm confident in them.
Yeah. By the way, we forgot about Mitchell Milton at linebacker. Yeah.
Lathan Ransom's technically a safety. Like, he's obviously hurt, but Legend Cavazos could play probably maybe safety if he had. We have too many safeties. We need corners. We have like
Johnson.
Yeah.
We need quarterbacks. We have three.
Why do we have 18 safeties and three quarterbacks?
Oh, by the way, we forgot about Reed Curatio at number 28 from Ironton. There's a lot of linebackers and safeties.
We have Kirk Herbstreit's son, Zach. He could maybe play quarterback.
Can he play quarterback?
I'm sure he could definitely be a backup.
What about Cameron Little? He's only 6 foot tall.
Ohio State preferred. I got to Google this. Ohio State football preferred.
JT Tuimoloa. What about Cade Kurowski? He's a graduate. He's a linebacker, 6'2", 225. Can he play quarterback?
No. There it is. Mason Maggs, Dublin Kaufman. That's the guy.
Oh, okay.
Son of former Ohio State and NFL offensive lineman Bob Maggs. He completed 173 of 268 passes, 62% for 1,700 yards his senior year, and he had 30 total touchdowns and 4 interceptions for Dublin Kaufman. So, like, that's a pretty good program in Ohio, right down the road from me. So, I mean, Mason Maggs is going to probably be the guy who would be our emergency quarterback, which, I mean, that's pretty good numbers, good program. His dad's an NFL guy. I could see it working out.
I just can't wait to see Joey Royer out there playing bit football.
Joe Royer run the seam route and just leading the Big Ten in touchdowns.
We got to switch over. Oh, what about Noah Ruggles, man? Can he play quarterback?
He could. I bet you he could. I bet you in a Ryan Day offense, he'd probably throw for 3 touchdouns and like 5 interceptions on the season. It would be, you know what? Noah Ruggles in a Ryan Day offense would have a better stat line than DJ Uiagalelei last year. So I'll leave it at that. Because DJ Uiagalelei was terrible.
Hey, maybe Tate Martell has he retired.
Bring him back now.
He retired. Get him. Is Chris Chuganoff still available? Does he still have any?
He has no more eligibility. I wish. All right,
let's time for some. Usually we do like our pick-ems and stuff like this. It's time to pick our where our projections of where the Buckeyes are going to be in the NCAA tournament. By the way, the women's, I think, have a shot to be a 3 seed in their tournament. I think they could go farther than the men's. That's my opinion.
I mean, that's not even an opinion. That's a fact. I like to say that's a fact. I like to make that bet with anyone that questions me.
Wonder what the go to Vegas, play. Hey, what are the odds that Ohio State's women's make it farther than the men's? Do you think Vegas would have that bet?
I don't know. That's a great question. I mean, dude, all right, I already hate this bracket we're in. I'm just looking at this. I just want to cry.
Is it with Duke?
No. It's worse because we would play in Pittsburgh. This is like we're a 6 seed playing in Pittsburgh. And we would play Memphis. And Memphis is a team that, like, they haven't made the tournament yet with their coach. What's his name? Perry. Former NBA player. Penny Hardaway.
Penny Hardaway.
Why did I say Perry? Not Perry Alano. Penny Hardaway. Penny Hardaway is their coach. They haven't really made noise yet because they've been sanctioned. Their best players have been, taking money. Basically everything I want Holtman to do, this guy's done, but they just haven't seen any results. But we would play them in the first round, and I have no confidence in us beating Memphis because they actually have talent on their team. And then after that, we would either play Villanova or Longwood. And Nova's just a powerhouse. I think, though, let's hope we drop a little bit, 7 or 8 seed. I'm going to say we'll go into the Greenville. Let's say we go play in the Greenville as a 7 seed. Greenville, South Carolina.
I have one.
We play like Creighton and Duke potentially, which I would love a rematch against Duke, even though
according to CBS, you'll love this bracket. It's in the East. The number 1 seed is Baylor. The 2 seed is Kentucky, 3 Nova, 6 USC, 4 UCLA, which is, by the way, my pick to win the national title.
I love UCLA.
Because that's what I put Vegas on. 5 St. Mary's, 6 obviously USC. Number 7 Ohio State. We would play Kentucky.
We would beat Kentucky. I know we would beat Kentucky, actually. I would like that.
You know who would play first?
Who?
Notre Dame.
We wouldn't get past Notre Dame. That's the kicker. We would. There's no doubt in my mind Ohio State would take Kentucky to the woodshed in basketball because it's one of those things that recently we just have their number and it makes no sense why because we shouldn't. But we would be. But Notre Dame somehow would spank us. So
according to this bracketologist.
Notre Dame's a 2 seed in the ACC, by the way, just so everyone knows.
And they're the 11th seed in the tournament?
Yeah. Second best team in the ACC this year.
So this one would have us in the West bracket. Gonzaga's the number 1 seed. Villanova's the 2. Murray State's the 7. Texas Tech's the 3rd. Ohio State's the 6th. Arkansas's the 4th. UConn the 5th. Boise State, Iowa State is the 8 and 9. The 10th seed, San Diego State. The 11th seed, Notre Dame. And then we go play Texas Tech.
I'm just not liking all this, like, us versus Notre Dame stuff because I can totally see the world where we beat them in lacrosse, we beat them in basketball, and then come September 3rd, we somehow lose them in football. And that's the worst case scenario.
According to Bleacher Report, they also have us as a 6 seed, but they have us playing Loyola Chicago.
No. I don't like any of these. Like Sister Jean versus Tennessee Jeff. Who do you got?
Sister Jean, Tennessee Jeff.
Tennessee Jeff doesn't like basketball, but like that's like they're wheeling Sister Jean out and like we got Tennessee Jeff just getting all rowdy. I don't know. I don't like that. I don't like her odds there. She's gonna start spraying him with holy water, like power of Christ compels you. Power of Christ compels you. And he's gonna be like just like OH.
Reading Carmen Hall off a piece of notebook paper.
Giving his sermon. So, I mean, I don't like that either. They're honestly cast. There isn't a team I feel like I have, like I said, I have no confidence in the basketball team. I remain hopeful because I'm naive and I try to be a good fan, but I'm ready to get hurt again. I did my rant last week. We split, like I said, we go 1-1.
I think honestly we could beat Memphis.
We could.
I really do. I'd rather, if I had the choice between these 4 brackets, I'd take ESPN's all day. Because it was ESPN, right?
It's March, though. So, like, the bracket that looks safe is not the safe one. You want the one that's hard.
Just as long as we don't play Loyola Chicago. We play Notre Dame in South Bend next year for football. I know this changes, but just go back to Tennessee Jeff. Is he going to catch on fire when he goes to the Holy Land of Notre Dame?
No, he'll be good. He'll be good.
Gosh, is that Jenny Taft?
What? Yeah, just Notre Dame is a I feel like it's an odd place. It's basically Michigan because you're like
beautiful.
Is it?
Yeah.
You've been?
Yes. For a spring game. I'm telling you what. Tennessee Jeff up at Notre Dame would be must-see TV. Is that Jenny Taft?
I would make some noise. I would make some noise in South Bend.
Nothing beats Tennessee Jeff video in 2019 while jamming out to Christmas music.
It was like it's beginning. He's driving his Ford F-150, jamming out to It's Beginning to Look Like Christmas. Just
is he driving an F-150?
I think it was F-150. It was a pickup truck. I believe it's F-150. Just terrorizing Michigan fans. And I loved it. It's the greatest video of all time.
That Jenny Taft?
It was just some random girl from Michigan just on a bench.
All of the Tennessee Jeff moments. 2018, he's out there in socks with slides in a lawn chair across the street from the Longer Burger building, waiting for the results of Urban Meyer's suspension.
Those are the simple days. Honestly, those are the days where we didn't have inflation, we didn't have World War III, we didn't have a pandemic.
We just had to deal with a gallon.
No, we just had to deal with, did Urban Meyer not tell Gene Smith something?
Reading Carmen, Ohio off a piece of notebook paper. Oh, I got to go to bed.
All right. Yeah, it's no more. My goal for this year is no rallies. But unfortunately, the way with this program, it's every 2 years we have to do a rally. So last year we didn't have to do a rally, but 2020 we did.
2018
we had to do a rally.
We weren't there though, by the way.
We were not there for the original rally. We were there for the Kevin Ward canceled the season, saved the season rally. So we cannot. Yeah, it's 2022.
This rally will be if a Buckeyes can afford to put gas in their bus to go to.
Woody Hayes quote has never made more sense than today, by the way. I don't want to put gas and give that state up north an extra cent, which honestly, it might be a couple $100 the way this is going.
Can you imagine if, you know, their bus, the team bus traveling to, oh, we got to go Indiana. No, Indiana comes to us. Where do we go? Northwestern, Michigan State. Can the bus Happy Valley? Like, can we afford gas to drive our bus to Happy Valley?
I know what they need to do. They need to fill up the red gas containers. Like, get like 20 of those, put it in the bathroom, and then just like, if we're running low,
we know who would do it. Just pay him. Pay the man.
Tennessee Jeff.
Yeah, he has nothing to do.
Put them all in his pickup truck. When the bus hits E, he just pulls over side of the road, refuels.
Jeff.
Oh, he's like the older water boy.
He'd be the gas man.
Gas man. All right.
Oh, it's been a great episode.
It has been. It's hopefully the Buckeyes do something in the tournament.
Hopefully, since there was no winner nobody claimed their prize for their bowl game, pick 'em. But it is time for the March Madness pick 'em.
Oh, it is. Yes, we got to release our bracket. So we'll probably do that
Monday.
We'll probably do that Monday. Have to do that Monday so it gives everyone time. So I will post that on the Twitter.
And he'll post it on Twitter. Put your name, first and last name, and one bracket only.
Yeah, if you have more than one bracket, I'm going to.
We're going to call Tennessee Jeff with this gas can.
If you don't put your name and. We put more than one bracket. I am not going to be happy. We're going to shame you. We will shame you next episode.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's March Madness time. Get your pick-ems in. Enjoy some March Madness. Last year's winner won a $50 gift card to Fanatics. That's what it's going to be again. We're doing one prize. I don't care.
We're cheap. We're cheap. Inflation's high. That's all I really
maybe got. Maybe $45.
Oh, my gosh. We're ignorant.
But, yeah, yeah, we are. But prayers go out to the people in Ukraine. Hopefully everybody's safe out there in Ukraine. And, you know, God's with you. And
we have a lot of Ukrainian listeners. They're very interested. Oh, by the way, no, we forgot to talk about this. Speaking of Ukraine, Desmond Howard. We completely forgot about that.
This will end it.
Yeah, we need to talk about that. So I forgot who posted the picture. I think it was like Chris Fowler. Yeah, it was like a picture of a bridge lit up for Ukraine, and clearly it's like on everyone's mind. By the way, I'm drinking a blue and yellow Bang. Blue and yellow limoncello is delicious. And these are not – this is not maize and gold, all right? If I'm drinking something that's blue and yellow, it's not maize and gold. It's for Ukraine. We're unbanning the ban on blue and yellow in support of Ukraine. I am doing that per me. I don't care what Urban Meyer says. I'm supporting Ukraine, drinking a blue and yellow drink. But Desmond Howard –
we don't have to wear it.
Yeah, but I could drink it. Like, yeah. I wouldn't normally get it, but very delicious. But it's okay for blue and yellow, but – Chris Fowler posts a picture, and Desmond Howard's first thing is to say, "Go blue." Absolute madman. That's all I got to say.
How does that dude make $5 million a year with ESPN?
What it makes me so mad, too, is he was right this year just about, like, the Oregon game and the Michigan game. It's really the true thing. Like, a blind squirrel finds its nut once in a while.
That's probably why he's gone nuts this year. His little thing with the Heisman, the Ukraine thing. He did something else, too, on Twitter. I forget what it was, but it was something else.
Oh, he issued the apology after the Heisman ceremony. Desmond Howard is definitely public enemy one of this podcast, I would say. I couldn't think of a bigger villain for us to face. Maybe Kevin Warren.
Oh, he's gone now. I mean, he's still there, but he's not our villain no more. It's like when Batman gets done with the Joker and then goes to the Riddler. Desmond Howard became the Riddler.
I wouldn't and even Heather, say.
And Heather Dinich is Catwoman.
I wouldn't even say, yeah. Like, Kevin Warren's more like the Scarecrow. Like, he's still kind of there, but, like he's not really.
That makes Desmond Howard and Heather Dinich the Joker and Harley Quinn.
Yeah,
because they both work for ESPN.
I would agree. You know, I think that's a fair point. It's like because like after like if you're going by the Nolan trilogy, if you're going by the Nolan trilogy, the Scarecrow would be like Kevin Warren because like yeah we defeated him, but like he's still there in like the third episode as like the judge, jury, executioner guy. Like he's still the commissioner. Like, the Scarecrow is still kind of in the streets and stuff, but, like, he's pretty – we're not really that scared of him. But, yeah, Desmond Howard is definitely the Joker. He is an immovable object, and we are an unstoppable force.
Heather Dinich is Catwoman. That means Mark May is Bane. That means we got to find a Two-Face, man. Two-Face has got to be Reese Davis. He's nice to our face, but then he'll turn his back on you.
I was going to say Kirk Herbstreit.
I like Kirk Herbstreit.
I know. Or Joey Galloway, because he's just...
That means Joel Klatt is Robin. Yeah. He always has our back. We gotta go. We're going Batman references.
Joel Klatt is Robin. Is that Gus
Chris
Jordan?
Chris Fowler is the Gus Penguin. Gus Jordan's
Commissioner Gordon.
Gus Johnson?
Gus Johnson's Commissioner Gordon.
Dude. Hey, that means Chris Fowler is the Penguin.
That looks like one, honestly.
A little bit.
Oh, man. Yeah. So, stand with Ukraine. Desmond Howard, we do not stand or support your terrible Twitter posts. That's all I got for this episode, Cass.
Me too. Me too. Go Bucks. Beat Minnesota or Penn State, and then beat Purdue.
Exactly. Go Bucks. Have a great weekend, everyone.